السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. کنٹینیوئنگ وتھ دا رائٹس آف دا مجاہدین, ہاؤ عمر رضی اللہ عنہ واز سو پرٹیکولر وتھ ریگارڈز ٹو دا رائٹس آف دا مجاہدین. سو دا نیکسٹ تھنگ دیٹ ہی واز ویری پرٹیکولر اباؤٹ واز ٹو پروٹیکٹ دا مجاہدین. ون از بائی ڈینائنگ اپرچونیٹیز ٹو دا اینمی to attack them. Right? For this purpose, he used to ask his commanders to appoint guards whether the enemy was on the move or camped. He always have people around on the lookout to check. There's no enemy forces coming from anywhere. For example, he told Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, place guards on your army. And you yourself keep awake as much as you can to protect your army while they sleeping. While they sleeping, nobody must come and attack them. You stay awake and watch. If a prisoner is brought to you who does not have a peace agreement with you, kill him. This will put fear in the heart of yours and Allah's enemies. He also used to tell his commanders to form intelligence networks, when nearing the enemy's territory to gain an insight into enemy intentions and preparations. So must have an intelligence network. You're coming near the territory of the enemies, so your intelligence officers must give you information at what's the situation, so you know what steps to take, so you're not just caught unawares. Now he wrote to Sa'd radiallahu anhu, when you reach the enemy's lands, enable your spy network in the area between you and them so that their coalition does not remain unknown to you. Let these spies be either Arabs or natives of that land, but you must make sure that they are sincere and truthful. It must be people whom you can trust, otherwise they'll come give you wrong information. If he is a liar, then his reports will be of no help to you, even if he is accurate in some of them. But if he lies to you, you're in a problem. So make sure you've got a truthful person. A deceiver is a spy against you, not a spy in your favor. When you are near enemy territory, send more and more scouts ahead of you. Also send small platoons forward whose mission should be to cut off their supplies and isolate units. The scouts should uncover their secrets. Choose the scouts to be intelligent men of fighting material and provide them with fast horses. Let the first thing that hits them be your wisdom, not your weapons. Your wisdom must hit them first. So there has to be a lot of planning, like how Abu Muhammad Jolani is to keep telling the Mujahideen that continue preparing yourself. Right? One part of it is to be prepared. The other part is to have the wisdom to know when to strike. So he was waiting for the right opportunity, when to strike. 5 years they're waiting to get that window when the enemy is at its weakest. And then he said, right, now go, attack. And Allah Ta'ala made it, he was right. The enemy just toppled. Gee, so your wisdom must hit them first. Not only did Umar radiallahu anhu have an intelligence network against the enemy, but also within his own armies. This provided remote administrative supervision on governors and commanders. He used to have spies in each army garrison, which reported back the events to him. Because sometimes you can have a black sheep in your own army, somebody who's causing problems in your own army. So you need to know what's happening in your own army also. The enemy could have planted somebody in your army. That's how you spying on them. They can be spying on you also. When Umair bin Saad al-Ansari radiallahu anhu was the commander of a brigade, came to Amirul Mu'mineen, he reported, "Between us and the Romans is a city which the Arabs call Sus. Its inhabitants report all our secrets to the Romans, but do not reveal any Roman secrets to us." They don't tell us anything about the Romans, but everything about us, they go and inform the Romans. Umar radiallahu an told him, "When you return, offer to give the residents of Sus twice of everything they have. If they own one camel, you will give them two. If they own one goat, you will give them two goats. If they own five goats, you will give them 10 goats. Right? If they agree to sell their city, then give them these things and destroy the city. Tell them to sell the city to us. How them? What's the price? Everything they got, we'll give them double. So now we bought the city, so they must go away. It's like now you living in a house. I come to you. I say, how much is this house? You say this house is 1 million rand. I say, okay, I'll pay you 2 million. Right? I'll pay you 2 million. So you're gonna agree. So I pay you 2 million rand. Now you must move out. It's my house now. I bought it. Now after you move out, I destroy the house. It's my choice. I can destroy it. Belongs to me. So Umar radiallahu an wanted to get rid of the city of Sus, because this became a weak spot for the Muslim armies. But the people here were being treacherous. They're giving all the information to the Romans. So he told them that sell us your city. The price we'll pay you is, whatever you own, we'll give you double that. So, if they agree, then give them and destroy the city. If they don't agree, they say, no, no, we don't want to sell, we want to stay here. Then give them a time of 1 year. Give them respite for 1 year and then destroy the city. Then the other thing Umar radiallahu anhu was very particular about was the choice of turf. When you're coming to wage war, the land that you choose to fight from. Now the terrain mustn't be such that it makes it difficult upon your soldiers. No water, no shade. So Umar radiallahu anhu advised Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu not to initiate hostilities until he had gained knowledge of the battlefield. Where's the entrances? Where's the exits? Where's the water? Where's the fauna, the flora? Because you need grass, you need fodder for your animals too. So don't start fighting. First learn the land. Learn the land. He wrote to Sa'ad radiallahu anhu before the battle of Qadisiyah, stay within your own territory. Because you know this territory. Don't go into foreign territory. You don't know that territory. Now you won't know what to do. Stay here. Let them bring the fight to you. So he would, for in another situation, he did delegate the actual choice of turf to his commanders. In the end, the commanders, because they are on the ground, so they must choose the turf. Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas, Salman Farsi, Huzaifa bin Yaman, radiallahu anhum, right? As part of the military management, he used to tell the field commanders that the selected place to camp, the selected place to have a garrison, should not be separated from the main military headquarters by a body of water. Mustn't have water in between. This had central importance in planning and supplying and reinforcing the garrison. Umar radiallahu anhu wrote to Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu, do not camp anywhere where the troops, before supplying the place with water. Don't camp anywhere with the troops. Before supplying the place with water and knowing the quality of its water. Don't just camp somewhere. First check out where there's water. What's the quality of the water? Is it drinkable water? Then you choose that place to camp. The other thing Umar radiallahu anhu used to be concerned about was preparing provisions, right, for the troops. Maybe food, you need food. If they are hungry, how are they going to fight? And also fodder. Fodder for the animals. So Umar radiallahu anhu used to send cattle, and fodder from the suburbs of Madinah Munawwara to the Mujahideen all the way in Iraq. He used to send fodder from here, animals from here. Similarly, he kept extra horses in each main city as a precaution. There were horses everywhere. In case they lose horses, they need, the horse is sick, horse is gone weak, you can replace your horse. There were 4,000 horses, 4,000 in Kufa and Basra. In Kufa there were 4,000, in Basra there were 4,000, and the other cities also had extra horses, depending upon the requirement. Can you imagine 4,000 horses? We can't even imagine. Then when he went to the Levant to sign the peace agreement in Jerusalem, he initiated a military supply management called Ahra. Amr bin Abasa was the first supply officer appointed to ensure the smooth running of the supply chain to the army. From this place to that place, that place to that place, whatever the army requires, it must reach them. Then also keeping the morale of the army, to keep encouraging them, giving them words of encouragement. So Umar radiallahu anhu wrote to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, urging him to wage jihad. So the letter he wrote, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, from Umar bin Khattab, Amirul Mu'mineen, to Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah, right? Aminu hadihil ummah, the trustworthy person of this ummah. Assalamu alaikum. I praise Allah Ta'ala publicly and privately. I warn you not to disobey Allah Ta'ala. I warn and forbid you not to be among those about whom Allah Ta'ala says, the meaning of the ayat, that say, if your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your wives, your children, your wealth, your family, your wealth that you have gained, the commerce, meaning the business, in which you fear decline, and the dwellings in which you delight, meaning your houses, if this is all more dearer to you than Allah and His Messenger, and striving hard and fighting in His cause, then wait until Allah brings about His decision. In other words, Allah Ta'ala will bring about punishment. And Allah guides not the people who are rebellious, who are disobedient to Allah. So He said, don't become from these people. In other words, fight in the path of Allah. Don't become from these people. Assalamu alaikum. May peace know. As-salatu was-salamu. He sent durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all praises for Allah Ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds. When Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu received the message, he read it to the Mujahideen. He read it to the army. They understood that their leader was urging them to fight. And all of them wept when they heard the message. He sent a similar message to Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anh in Iraq as well. Right? Then included in this, he would remind them about the rewards. That you're not just fighting for nothing. There is so much of rewards that Allah Ta'ala would give you. In the dunya also, if you are made shaheed, then what is your sawab, etc. So he would, you know, tell the leaders to read the different ayat in the Quran Sharif. Sometimes he would send letters. Sometimes he would tell the leaders of the armies to give khutbas with all these different ayat, etc. And the other thing was to ask them to keep their duty to Allah Ta'ala. Remain obedient to Allah Ta'ala. And he would forbid them from engaging in business and farming. If you are out in jihad, now don't get involved in business over here. Because sometimes you months and months you're out in jihad. Right? Now don't start getting involved in business transactions, start farming there and all that. That's why he used to take care of their needs. Because now if you're going to get involved in business and farming, now if you start, your business is roaring now, you don't want the war to start. If in 2 weeks' time now you're going to start harvesting the fruit of what you farmed, now you don't want the war to start. Your heart is half in the farm now. So he used to disencourage you, forbid them from getting involved in business and farming and those things. Right? So that was the rights of the soldiers who were taking part. So Umar Rilan was very, very particular with regards to the rights of the soldiers. Fair, we'll stop there. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته